12:02 on this Monday morning. It's Tuesday morning. I did Monday yesterday. I get so confused. It was just Monday evening. How we doing, everybody? Never mind me. It's okay. We got Paul Rosenberg still on the other side. You can tell by the music. Jack will take over eventually. And we'll take your calls at 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Knicks as obviously we get ready for the Eastern Conference Finals. And we have plenty of time to do so as we wait with bated breath for Wednesday night. But it is now getting ugly with Juan Soto. It is now. That's right, Paul. Don't shake your head. It is. You hear it. I saw you in the control room arguing with every Met fan calling in. You might feel differently, but it is getting ugly with Juan Soto. There's no other way to put it. And the transition is really remarkable. Because now it's not just, like, I was talking yesterday, I was on after the game, I was on yesterday morning, I went to the Subway Series Sunday night, I watched the Yankees win the series, and my take was kind of, the Yankee pivot off of Juan Soto. There's so many different elements of the Juan Soto story, and a lot of it so far, you know, from the beginning of the signing has been Met fans being able to crow about what it means that Juan Soto is a Met. And how he's changed the dynamic of the city. He's changed the dynamic of the fan bases. He's changed the dynamic of Mets-Yankees. He's changed the dynamic of who the Mets are and who the Mets can be moving forward. And it changes the organizations and where they stand. And it was just a sad, pathetic thing from Yankee fans over the last couple of days and really over the entire start of the season and how butthurt the Yankee fan was and how embarrassing the Yankee fans handled themselves at Yankee Stadium. This is the perspective of the Met fan, obviously. And how quickly it has turned, because when you start talking about hustle, when you start talking about the lack of hustle, and you watch this guy, and obviously he is not playing up to his capabilities, he is not hitting with runners in scoring position, and for me as a Yankee fan, I thought for sure, and I talked about this yesterday, I thought for sure that Juan Soto, despite some struggles, and we could talk about his honest-to-God numbers, and we can get into the actual kind of season he's having, and his OPS is still significantly above 800 and all of that. And I've been talking about that, and I think that's fair, that he's not, despite a slump, he's not been putrid, he's not been awful. I heard Paul talking about all kinds of names like Jason Bay. I was listening to Keith driving in. You know, Bay or Ellsbury. I mean, it's nowhere near that. But the dynamic shift, because now when you start talking about hustle, this is the Met fans now getting on Juan Soto. And we had the stories, obviously, earlier today from Bob Clappish talking about out of shape Juan Soto, talking about some of the Met brass being concerned about his enthusiasm, some of the things that we've all seen. And let's just start there with basic facts. It is a fact. Whether you want to admit it or not, and I'm not ready to stand here and tell you some of the nonsense that I've heard, I don't necessarily believe it to be. He wants to be a Yankee. Like, that is the part that where the Yankee fan is now sensing blood in the water on how he's playing, the new lack of hustle issue, and we're going to get to that in a second, and his soundbite, and how he's denying it. But now there's blood in the water about how this thing has turned. And the Yankee fan can sense now that even the Met fan can't deny what's going on here. But it's a far reach. And I know Michael Kay is reporting that people close to Juan Soto are saying that. I mean, these are the two reports today. Bob Clappish reporting that there is some concern inside the Mets organization that he's just not himself and there's a lack of enthusiasm about being a New York Met and being on this team. And that, obviously, he chose not to speak to the media after Sunday Night Baseball. He chose to not speak to the media during the game. He asked out of the interview process on the field with the ESPN Sunday Night broadcast last minute or 45 minutes before the broadcast. Then there were reports about a private jet that have been shut down. Like, all of these stories circling Juan Soto. It's really remarkable, and this is why it bothers the Met fan, and I understand why. Forget whether or not he wants to be a Yankee and he's unhappy being a Met. We could read into that all day long, and I think that's a bunch of, you know, we can't actually know that or believe that or be inside his head, but we can't deny what we're seeing. What we're seeing is, and now what we've seen with the play in the eighth inning on the check swing ground ball and not running it out, and without question, he didn't run it out. And then you turn into a game last night that the Red Sox take down the Mets 3-1. The offense continues to be a struggle. Kodai Senga starts the game as poorly as we have seen him start the game, and yet still is managing to give you, you know, a representable start of 6 innings and 3 runs, but the Mets offense continues to be down. Obviously, Pete Alonso and his offense have started to cool off. His defense is now an issue after I put him in the first base gold glove category. He continues to have issues throwing the ball. He airmailed the play at the plate on the Sunday finale of the Subway Series. He obviously has another issue underhanding an easy ground ball to Kodai Senga in this game that leads to runs, but it's just another problem. You're seeing Brett Beatty playing third base. There's a real issue now with how Beatty's played third and the way Vientos has played third on that dynamic at third. But the defense isn't as good. The offense isn't as good. They've lost 5 out of their last 6, or 4 out of their last 5, rather. They've struggled here offensively. They're not scoring runs. 1 run against a lousy Red Sox team. And Juan Soto hitting into big double plays, hitting a ball that he thought was gone and Cadillacing it out of the box. And what he could have had a double, and instead, he was standing at first base. Now, he did end up stealing second base and making up for it. But all of this has now culminated into what we're obviously watching. Not the same Juan Soto. And we have seen it for a while. It's not brand new. It's been a couple weeks. But for me, the Subway Series and his inability to get up for that series spoke volumes. Right? I'm sorry. I expected it as a Yankee fan. You expected it as a Met fan or a Yankee fan. We all knew coming into the Bronx, into that environment where this guy thrives. This is who he is. He thrives in these kind of atmospheres. He's thrived in the postseason. He's, as a 20-year-old, thrived in the World Series against the Houston Astros team that's been the best team of the decade. A team that's won championships. Taking Verlander, who's dominated in a Houston uniform in the postseason, taking him deep. No Yankee's been able to do that. And there's Juan Soto at 20 years old doing it for the Washington Nationals. We saw it in a Yankee uniform last year. Every moment of the season, none of it looked like this. And now it was one thing when it was the Yankee fan who was butthurt. It was another thing when it was the Yankee fan who was trying to clutch at straws to try and save their season as they kind of struggled offensively and Bellinger wasn't performing all that well to start the year and they were up and down and Devin Williams was blowing games and the Mets were taking every series and the Mets were winning despite Juan Soto not playing great and Pete Alonso was putting up MVP numbers and the New York Mets were out to the best record in Major League Baseball and this was just any talk of Juan Soto was premature, which was fair, and it was all about the Yankee fan crying and not acting like a Yankee fan. And right, and even coming out of the Subway Series, the first couple days, the reaction to the crowd, oh, it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen from a Yankee fan base. It's just, you know, I mean, this is the once proud, look what's happened. This is your World Series. Congratulations on your World Series win and all the nonsense that's going on. And how quickly, off of a couple of stories this morning, and whether or not we could take every one of them as gospel, of course not. I don't know. I'm sure Michael Kay has heard things, whether they're entirely accurate or not. He's not making up the fact of the things he's saying. I don't know if it's entirely true or how close the connections are, but I don't think Michael Kay would just flat out make it up out of thin air that he's heard that Juan Soto wanted to be a Yankee, but his family wanted him to be a Met, so he chose the Mets. I can't tell you that's accurate. I don't know. I'm not going to go on it like it's the gospel, but I don't think he made it up. And Bob Clappish talking about inside the organization, there's some thoughts about him being unhappy being a Met. And now you're seeing the lack of hustle and what we've seen all year is him not be himself. There's no denying it anymore. And the transition of it just being about Yankee fans is now starting to turn ugly inside the Met fandom. There's no way around it. Because you're seeing it now. The manager's being asked about his lack of hustle. And lack of hustle, and I don't care how much money you make, I don't care how many home runs you hit, I don't care how dynamic of a shift just your mere appearance in the uniform has transformed an entire city. I don't care. The minute you start talking lack of hustle, especially when you make $765 million, I heard Boomer this morning talking about the idea that maybe he has a jet, or we're talking about hustling and the amount of money he makes. When it starts to get ugly and the fan base is now recognizing it, because you're a Met fan, you're a Yankee fan, I don't care who you are, you don't have to believe in the Bob Clappish story, or at least every word of it. You could dismiss Michael Kay's report that he'd rather have been a Yankee, but his family convinced him otherwise because of suites and wardrobes or whatever else. You can dismiss it. You can dismiss any story you want. You can dismiss anything you'd like. You can't dismiss what we are all watching with our eyes. And the Subway Series crystallized it. The Subway Series crystallized it for a Met fan base that has been waiting for Juan Soto to be the driving force of their team, waiting for them, for him to carry this group, waiting for him to look like the player we all saw last year. And that's what the dynamic is really interesting, because Yankee fan and Met fan alike, even if you're not like me and you do this for a living and you have to watch both teams, we saw Juan Soto play last year. You saw it. I saw it. Met fans saw it. It looked different than this. It looked different than this. They were talking about it on the Sunday night broadcast. Where is the Soto shuffle? And Bob Clappish is talking about it in his story. Where is the enthusiasm? Where is the fun? Juan Soto isn't having fun right now. And I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to be that guy, although I could play into it and have some fun with you. It is just sports. But I'm not going to tell you it's because he's desperate to be a Yankee and he misses being a Yankee. I don't know that to be true. I don't. Nor do you, nor do any Yankee fans. It could just be that he's struggling. It could just be the idea that not necessarily he's unhappy being a Met or wishes he was somewhere else. Just the idea for a guy who came up a young kid in the Nationals organization and knew and had an idea that it might not be his final place and his final destination. And clearly that wasn't the case with the Padres. And even last year was a one-year thing. He was always looking ahead to the next thing. And now just the idea of this is my place for 15 years and I just signed a $765 million and there's no next destination. I got to make it work here with this team and that's what I'll be judged on for the rest of my life. Maybe that's it. I have no idea what's going on. Maybe he's got a personal issue inside his life that none of us know anything about. I don't know what it is, but what we are seeing is a different Juan Soto. It's inarguable. And now, when you start to have a fan base like the Mets who have been waiting for this and have still been fighting uphill, and now they've lost the Subway Series to the New York Yankees. Now the crowing can't be as loud. The turn of the city, the turn of Big Brother, Little Brother, whatever they were holding on to for a day or two after the Friday night, they were able to say, look at this embarrassing franchise's fan base. Look at what's going on with, they can't afford them, and now they're all crying and they're turning their back, how corny, and they're booing them, and it's F Juan Soto and how embarrassing it is. And then suddenly he continues to not perform. He doesn't rise to the occasion. And now it's national reports. Now it's the Sunday Night Baseball broadcast telling you they recognize things. He's ducking us. He doesn't want to meet the moment. He didn't meet the moment in front of all of us in the biggest series of the city so far. He wasn't there. It's no longer just a Yankee narrative. It's right in our face. Stories are being written about it. And now the Met fan has something to latch onto of where the hell is the hustle? I'm paying you $765 million. We gave you everything you asked for. And now I got an unhappy, mopey guy who doesn't want to hustle. And that's when it turns ugly. because it was easy to brush it aside while the Mets were winning. It was easy to brush it aside while the Yankees were struggling. Now the Yankees are playing good baseball. They won the series, and the Mets are struggling, and the offense is struggling, and Lindor is cooled off, and Alonso is cooled off, and all that is left is an underwhelming Juan Soto, who now is doing the cardinal sin. You can handle a struggle. You can handle a slump. You know eventually he's going to snap out of that. But now, first place is no longer where you are. You know, first place is not a guarantee or where you are currently sitting. You're watching the Phillies come back up. You're watching the Atlanta Braves, after an 0-7 start, come back up. You know how good the rest of the National League is. The offense is not scoring runs, and Juan Soto isn't running out ground balls. Juan Soto is hitting into double plays in big spots. Juan Soto is Cadillacing home runs that hit off the wall of the Green Monster. And now, when you start worrying about hustling, and you start talking about not wanting to be a Met, and you watch him moping around, and there are stories written, and you lost the Subway Series, now it's easy to turn on Juan Soto. And now Juan Soto is going to have his own fan base questioning what's going on. And he's in Washington, he's a beloved figure. Hit the, you know, won a World Series championship after Bryce Harper, their other hero, left. I can't speak to San Diego as eloquently because he was out on the West Coast and we didn't watch it every day. He had a terrible time of it when he first got traded there. Then the second year, they did go to the playoffs. And, you know, ultimately he performed well in that playoff run in 22. Actually, the first year he was traded, they made the playoffs, and he relatively played well. But last year, it was nothing but roses from the Yankee fan. It was nothing but a happy Juan Soto. It was nothing but a extremely well-performing Juan Soto. And you know what? Here's a secret. There are probably moments where Juan Soto didn't run out of ground ball to New York Yankees. There was probably a sequence where Soto hit a long fly ball and didn't hustle it out of the box because he thought he got it. But nobody cared because Juan Soto was hitting 320 with a 980 OPS, and he was dominating. But now he's struggling. Now we're questioning his motives. Now we're questioning his happiness. Now we're not seeing that fun-loving baseball player that wanted you to bring him here to change everything about your team and the feeling around the franchise. You're seeing a sad, moping Juan Soto who now isn't hustling. And then the manager openly says, yes, we need to talk about it. And after that, Juan Soto denies the idea that he's not hustling. And it's not an issue. And says, if you watched the game, you saw me play hard. No, Juan, we all saw you not hustle out of the box Sunday night against the Yankees. We all saw you pimp a home run that didn't go out in an against the monster where you always have to be worried that ball's not getting out. And now it starts to turn ugly. It went so quickly. Like, it went so quickly from Friday night, a New York Yankee story. That's what it was. I heard Evan say it today. And the whole time, this is more about the Yankee fans and Juan Soto coming back to the Bronx and how the Yankee fans feel about it. I heard him say it today. As well as, you know, call me a Brian Cashman stooge, which is fine. I heard him say it today that, hey, this was the first time it felt like more of a Yankee Subway Series. It was more important to them. And the Soto thing was more important to the Yankees. Well, very quickly, it went from every Met fan being able to dog every Yankee fan and how they behaved and how sad it is and how embarrassing it is that they're so scorned over this one player and able to hold it over the Yankee fan's head. It went so quickly into losing that series and now questioning his hustling and questioning his desire, and their stories being written about it, and the ESPN broadcast is unhappy with him because he chose not to do their interview. And now Michael Kay is reporting whatever Michael Kay is reporting, that he wanted to be a Met, he wanted to be a Yankee, but his family said otherwise. And all these stories wrapped into one, and the Mets are losing. He's not performing. He's in, particularly right now, the throes of maybe his worst stretch of the season. He hit into a big double play last night. He's not hustling. They're not winning. They're not scoring runs. And now the question of, all of that is being asked of him in every post game, and it's going to haunt him, and he's going to have to deal with things he's never had to deal with before. Because I don't know what happened in San Diego. He didn't play all that well at times in San Diego. But in this city, under this pressure and scrutiny, with this media, last year was a breeze. There was never anything wrong with Juan Soto. The Yankees struggled for a time. The Yankees went through down patches. The Yankees weren't the best team in baseball for forever. The Yankees lost a lot of games in the middle of the summer, and it wasn't always great for the team. But Juan Soto was never to blame. There was never a question about whether Juan Soto wanted to be a Yankee. There was questions about his free agency looming, but there was never a question about how happy he was in the uniform. There was never a question about how much he cared to be there. There was never a question about how much he hustled. There was never a question about his success, his ability. There was never a question of any of this. And now, there's not only questions of that, but there's questions of the Yankees and his relationship with Aaron Judge and his questions and questions about the fan base and his reaction in that building and his 1-for-10 performance and his not hustling. Suddenly there's a ton of questions in the New York media and he's not used to it. And how quickly this has become an issue for the Mets. It was a Yankee thing on Friday. Mets coming off winning a series against the Pirates. It was an ugly final game of the series, but they're coming off playing relatively well. They're in first place. They just beat the Pirates. Yankee fans are the real embarrassment of this whole thing. No biggie. They win the game on Saturday. No biggie. Juan Soto steals a base, gets the third, is the, you know, go-ahead run earlier in the game. No biggie. Then he has some terrible at-bats Sunday night. Then he dodges the media. Then he doesn't stick around to answer questions after the game. Then he doesn't hustle on a ground ball. Then he goes into Boston and pulls the same crap. Now it's a Met issue. Now it's a Juan Soto playing baseball issue. Now the Mets are losing, it's an issue. Now the offense doesn't score runs and it's an issue. Now it's something different. Now it's not just fun and games. Now it's not just, oh, this is just a bunch of BS. Now this is the Met fan concerned about what they're seeing, the manager saying one thing, Soto saying another thing, all of us watching his unhappiness on the field. This quickly becomes something different, something Juan Soto hasn't had to handle yet. And quite honestly, he hasn't handled whatever he's had to handle as a Met yet that good. And it hasn't even been that tough. Now it gets tough. And we'll see how he responds. I fully expect him to be a great baseball player. That's what he is. But right now, this Soto thing is turning ugly. It's getting there. And the Met fan is going to get tired of this. And it is easy. Like I heard the morning show talking about, it is easy to start getting angry at a player who makes $765 million. We have seen it a bunch. It is easy to get really frustrated, and especially when you are bringing in hustle into the situation. This is an interesting dynamic right now that Juan Soto finds himself in, the Met fan finds himself in. Now, look, it's May. The Mets are still a winning franchise. The Mets are still very good. But this is now no longer just a downtrodden, sad, you know, angry, bitter, scorned lover Yankee fan base. This is now a Met fan base wondering what the hell they got for $765 million and why this guy can't run out ground balls. That's something different entirely. 888-808-1019. Let's get to some calls right after this quick break. 888-808-1019. We will get to the Knicks because obviously that's really what we're focused on. Wednesday, 8 o'clock, game one, Eastern Conference Finals. We'll get to it. We'll start to preview the series as we get closer to it. We'll start to really get into what the Knicks need to do. How important is game one of this series? What is the layoff of over a week for the Pacers mean to them? What are some of the key matchups here? What's the difference between this year and last year? Maybe we'll have some fun with Knicks Pacers, Reggie Miller. Because to me, like, yeah, last year you want revenge. Yes, a couple, what happened with Melo a handful of years ago? Yes. To me, this is Reggie Miller. This is the 90s, because this team, it's the first time we've got excitement like that 90s team. So I cannot wait for this series. I cannot wait for Wednesday night. So we'll get to that. We have plenty of time to do it. But we start with what we're seeing from Juan Soto and how we are transitioning from it being on Friday night a Yankee issue to it being today a Met issue. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Back right after this. Let's get right to the calls. I had a little bit of a long open there, so we'll get right to the Juan Soto situation. Now, look, this... we're unable, and maybe this is just, you know, the new thing of sports radio. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, on Twitter's one thing. We have some fun back and forth. Like, but when I'm speaking about the Mets, it's not coming, like, yes, I'm a Yankee fan, but that doesn't mean that this is coming as some sort of, like, scorned, angry, or Yankee fan agenda. I'm giving you my honest opinion. Clearly, if you... I dare anyone to call me up at 888-808-1019 and tell me he looks like he did last year. That's just, I think that's a fact. I don't know how anyone could disagree. He does not look the same as he looked last year, not even just the numbers, because there was probably a stretch, maybe not this long, but there was a stretch where he wasn't performing for the Yankees at times, went through a slump. He was hitting like 330. At one point, he ended up hitting 280. So it wasn't like he was the greatest player in the world every second of every day for the Yankees. He probably had a stretch, but he got off to such a good start that you know how it works. The starts are always amplified. So he probably had a stretch somewhat like this. I think this is probably a little bit longer than maybe he did, but he had a stretch where he didn't perform for a week or whatever. He went through a slump. He had some injuries, missed a couple of games here or there, missed the Dodger series, you know. So there was like some time where he wasn't always great for the Yankees, but he got off to such a good start that there was never really a question about Juan Soto. And his body language was just far better. I don't know how you could disagree with it. And I am not in any way saying that this is because he wants to be a Yankee. Anyone who's saying, you know, Michael Kay can report it. And again, I respect Michael Kay. I don't think he's making it up out of thin air, but people get told things that aren't true. I don't know it to be a fact. I'd be surprised that that's the issue. And I'm certainly not going to just, you know, turn on the mic and say, ha, 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 Juan Soto wants to be a Yankee. Because I don't know that. I don't think he's necessarily unhappy being a Met. They're winning. Why would he be? He made a decision. He had openly talked about loving hitting in this ballpark his whole career. He's got a bunch of friends on the team. Like, I don't know if there's any real reason why he doesn't want to be a Met. Like, I don't know what the reason is, and I don't speculate why it is when I don't know things. I have no idea why his body language is different, but that doesn't change the fact that it is. And now all I'm saying is rightfully so, it felt like a Yankee story Friday and a Yankee fan getting over the bitterness of losing him and how embarrassing to have these chants and turning their backs and blah, blah, blah. And now we're talking about not hustling. Now we're talking about not showing up for the media. Now we're talking about things we typically talk about with players who are disgruntled, not playing well, and their own fan base gets on them. And now the Mets aren't hot, haven't played well over the last five or six games, lost the last game in the Pittsburgh series, 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, and now the first game in Boston, and the offense isn't producing, and Juan Soto isn't producing. And now you add the hustle thing to it, it's going to start to change into being strictly about, well, you know, it's an early season thing, and now it's a Yankee. Now we're past the Subway Series. We're past that. We'll see you again in July. This is about how he's performing, how he's impacting the team, and he's not impacting the team, and now he's not hustling, and now he's denying the hustling, and now the manager is in a very tricky situation about having to talk to the $765 million player who, as great as Mendy is, and is, I'm sure, as well-respected and loved as he is in that clubhouse and in that organization, ain't nobody got the standing in that organization as a player they gave a 15-year contract to worth $765 million. I'll tell you right now, and I'm not predicting this or telling you it's an issue. It's not. I'm just saying, and let's not even use Mendy's name. If Soto or anyone with a 15-year contract and a $765 million has a problem with the manager is the one in trouble. That's how it works. And I'm not saying that there's any, I'm just saying now he's in a tricky situation. How do you talk to the $765 million man about hustling? It's not easy. So it's no longer just the Yankee thing. They're past the Yankee series. Now it's going to become a problem inside the Met fan base. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Carmine in Yonkers. What's up, Carmine?
Hey, the greatest man that knows sports.
Well, and I gotta tell you, are we talking about me?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I gotta
thank give you credit, because when I was with George Steinbrenner and I fed the whole stadium from a little pizza shop in the Bronx,
mm-hmm.
George Steinbrenner sent for me. And he says, what kind of guy that can feed a stadium for no money? He threw a check at me. And I want to tell you something. The greatest baseball stadium is Yankee Stadium.
Oh, well,
that's why they never left the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
And when I brokered the deal for them to go to Yonkers, it was just a ploy. The Yankees never leave the Bronx.
All right, Carl.
Because why? The fan in the Bronx, people come from all over the world. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I love the Yankees. I love their organization. They're talking about general manager of the year to put the Yankees back, because money is important. Yep. Money makes us wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to get back to Juan Soto era.
Okay.
Because that's the future. The Mets got to give a chance. They cannot beat them up the way they're beating up the commentators. And even Boone said, you don't look good in a Met uniform. You don't do that as a professional level.
Well, yeah, and Carmine, thank you for the call. All over the place. I'll just take from that the compliment. Thank you very much. Well, Boone said that to him as a joke in a private moment. Like, everyone knows that was tongue-in-cheek. That wasn't a real, like, I just want to report that, you know, he doesn't look good in the uniform. Like, it was just a joke. I wouldn't worry about that. And look, it's only just getting it's only just getting ugly, like, the last couple days. Because now you start to throw in the hustle, and they're losing. Now, still, they still have a great record. They're a winning organization. They're a winning team. I expect them to be a winning team, but they're starting to lose. The offense isn't there. It's just starting to get ugly. I'll see. I want to hear from the fans about how upset they are with this. Is it overblown? Is most of the fan base not yet that upset with Juan Soto? But you could sense it coming. The hustling is a big thing, right? Same thing with Gleyber Torres. Like, and again, not nearly the same player, not nearly in the same situation, not nearly making as much money, not nearly as great a player or has a track record. But I'm just using the hustle thing because let's just be fair for a second. Gleyber Torres was the Yankees' third best hitter in the postseason. Gleyber Torres was great for them down the stretch of the season into the postseason as the leadoff hitter. He was great. Not a single Yankee fan that I know wanted him back for the most part. Maybe there's a handful out there. Nobody wanted him back. Why? Because of his inconsistencies and his lack of hustle. His low IQ on the base path, his defensive liability, but more than that, the consistent lack of hustle. And this was a guy who did it for them in the biggest moments, when Yankee fans only care about guys who do it for them in the biggest moments. And there was Gleyber Torres having an incredible postseason. And for 1 year, what did he make? 1 year, $15 million to go to Detroit? I didn't hear a lot of Yankee fans crying, why didn't we give him that? Like, hustle means a lot to the fan base. They don't care how much money you make until you don't hustle. Then we care how much money you make. Then it becomes a thing. So now it's like, that's the worst thing that could have happened, is having a hustle question from Juan Soto. It's one thing to see him and say, okay, maybe something's up. I don't know why he's not happy or right now or what's going on with him, and he's slumping. And that's probably just it. He's not performing well, so he's kind of down. You know, he expected to come out and really prove he's worth the money and stuff. Sometimes that can hang over you. It's okay. Now he's not hustling. Now he beats out that ground ball if he hustles the other night, and who knows what happens in that game. The double, he ends up stealing second base anyway, but nobody likes watching a guy who's making $765 million hit a fly ball off the wall and watch him admire it and not get the second base. Like, these are the things that will start to really get on him. And let's be honest, he's not performing at a good enough level. He's not making enough impact. And the offense, which was supposed to be the driving force of the team, is not performing up to snuff. right? They didn't score the last game against the Pirates. They scored two runs game one of the Subway Series, three runs game two of the Subway Series, two runs game. Like, they're not scoring runs right now. Jay in Orange County, what's up, Jay?
You know what? I have to agree with the last call, Steve. Like, you are probably the best because you've stolen, like, every one of my points with your long open and the 5 minutes in between his wonderful call. But I will say,
yeah,
now you've left me to convoluted analogies. If you know, the Mets, right, you get a guy like Soto.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're buying a Bentley, right? If you buy a Bentley, you don't expect to have to take it back to the dealer. Everybody's going to tell you, listen, it's a Bentley. Eventually, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
You keep bringing it back, this and that, and a third. No, I bought a Bentley. I don't give a shit. I want it to be...
Yeah, you still there? We lost you there. Just got to watch the potty mouth, okay, Jay? I could tell you didn't mean to do it, so we're going to let you continue. But, yeah, no, listen, I agree. I understand what you're saying. You don't want problems. When you spend $765 million, you don't expect to go through it for a minute, especially not the first month. Like, I get it. I get it. But, and I'm interested to see.
Eventually, you're gonna get what you paid for, I think.
He's going
to
put up numbers. He's going to be a great player. But it's just a lot going on right now with everything and the hustling, and I mean, something's up with them. And now you're starting to get reports. Like, I don't know. Like, the Sunday Night Baseball crew, again, I didn't watch the broadcast. I was at Yankee Stadium. But the reports are, you know, I mean, to come out as, you know, I heard the term begging, that he begged out of that interview. Now, Bob Clappish, and obviously it's not just Bob Clappish because the rest of the media would know. He didn't talk to the media. He said he would come back, and he left to go talk to his family and never came back and didn't respond, didn't answer to the media. He did last night and denied the lack of hustle. Said, no, if you watched the game, you saw me hustle. We all know that. I mean, look, I think sometimes the lack of hustle is overblown, but it's a bad time for Juan Soto right now. It's a bad time because, like I said in my open, like, I'll be totally honest with you. I watched every single game of Juan Soto. I don't remember it necessarily, but I can promise you it happens with everyone. I can promise you there was a play that Juan Soto didn't hustle. I can promise you as a Yankee, there was a ground ball where he didn't bust it out of the gate. There was probably a ball that went off the wall or just landed short of the wall that he thought he got, and he watched it for a while. Like, it's the nature of the game. Over the course of 162, it happens. But right now, all eyes are on him. All eyes are on him. They were all eyes on him for the entire Subway Series. And now with his lack of performance through that Subway Series and the Mets struggling here, all eyes are on him. And now there's reports in the media of him being unhappy. People saying, from people close to him, he wanted to be a Yankee. Again, I don't know that to be true. I'm not going to act like it's true, but it's out there. And perception is reality. John in Maspeth, the most happy man in New York City. What's up, John?
See, Mac, how's it going, man?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Listen, we see Juan Soto come onto the scene when he was 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's been an MVP caliber player every year since then. He won a World Series ring when he was, 20 years old. And his only motivation since then was the money, was to become the highest paid player in baseball and sports. He got that. And how do you motivate someone who already was motivated and got what they wanted? His only motivation for the last 5 or 6 years was the money. Now he has it. Now what's going to motivate him now? He's got his ring. Mm-hmm. He's got his paycheck. There's no more things to motivate him.
Being great.
He already is great, but
well, not
he's
right
not
now.
Motivated for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, that's an easy thing to say, John. And like, it's a point of view that right now, in the midst of his struggles of this season, it's one that has a lot of merit. And I'm sure you feel very confident saying it. And thank you for the call. it's hard to disagree other than, like, I think Juan Soto works hard to be a great player. You can't be this good. You can't know the strike zone. You can't do what he's done without a real determination to be great. I'm sorry, the money, I understand you want to make as much money as possible. And we have seen guys, you know, get their bag and then not be the same player. We've certainly seen a ton of guys, countless guys, who had the best year of their career right before they get paid. So we know that money is a motivation for everyone on earth. You know, so I get it. But I'm not ready to tell you that Juan Soto only cared about money and now this is the guy you're going to get because he can't be motivated. Because let me tell you, the only negative to your point or the only thing I could come back at you with is if all he cared about was the money and he got it, why isn't he happy? Like, wouldn't he still be doing the Soto shuffle? Wouldn't he still, like, if he got out of shape, right? And I know that was a quick line in the Bob Clappish story about maybe a little extra pounds in his midsection. Like, that I could see, right? Even the lack of hustle, okay, you could see. Not running things out, admiring fly balls, putting on some weight. Those all go with the narrative of he's rich and happy. But if he's happy, where's the happiness? Where's the one? You're telling me he only did the Soto shuffle because he was looking for $700 million? He only played with that level of joy and love of the game, which you saw, John. You could say whatever you want now because you hate him because he left. I get it. But you were there last year. You watched the team last year. Soto played with a joy and a love for the game. Like, he just did it, oozed out of him. And that's why every Yankee fan, despite the idea that he was the ultimate free agent and only cared about money and made it very clear he wasn't signing a contract and anything could happen in free agency, why Yankee fans were so confident that he was going to stay with the Yankees is because he exuded joy. For lack of a better term, he exuded joy. He had swagger. He played with joy. He played for a love of the game. Like, and he talked it all up. He talked about wanting to win gold gloves and getting better at defense. He talked about wanting to be better at this. Like, he just played with a exuberance that we are not seeing now. And if he was happy and just rich and that's all he ever wanted, well, why does he look miserable? And I think maybe even miserable is a bit strong. But, like, there's no doubt it's not the same thing. This is beyond just the struggles. Like, maybe just... the early season struggles and the weight of it all is causing it. But, like, if he didn't care about any of this and he wasn't motivated and he didn't give a damn anymore because all he cared about is money, then why wouldn't he still have the shuffle? Why wouldn't he still have the same love of the game? Like, why wouldn't he just be the same kind of, you know, why wouldn't his body language change? He doesn't look happy to me. And again, I hate reading body language and I don't want to get too much into that, but this is a unique dynamic because we've had a lot of guys come over here and struggle, both Yankees and Mets, right? Jason Bay, unfortunately, never found it. Carlos Beltran came over here first year, not quite as good as the rest of his Met career and certainly the years prior. We've seen guys come over here at all different times, even guys we love. Tino Martinez was terrible for the first month of his Yankee career, trying to replace Don Mattingly. Jason Giambi had that moment in May, the grand slam against the Twins in the rain, and before that didn't look like himself. Mark Teixeira came here and didn't look like himself. Alex Rodriguez came here and struggled being him. Like, a lot of guys have come here and struggled to be themselves, but the difference was, for the most part, it wasn't right across town where we saw him play every day anyway. Tino Martinez came from Seattle. Jason Giambi came from Oakland. Mark Teixeira came from, I think the Angels were the last team he was with, but he was with Texas and Atlanta and the Angels. Like, he wasn't right across town, and we didn't get to see, we just looked at the numbers. Jason Giambi won an MVP, batting average got better every year, all the home runs. Mark Teixeira, switch hitting, we could see the numbers, hits 300, does all this. Tino Martinez had a nice year in Seattle, you could see the numbers. Like, yeah, okay, you looked at the numbers. Jason Bay killed it in Boston, killed it in Pittsburgh. You could look at the numbers, but we didn't get a feel for how he played the game. So when he came over here and he struggled and it was a tough for him and you could see it weighing on him, you just assumed it was just New York and, you know, maybe he wasn't like, I don't know how he was before. This is a direct, We got to see the best of him. We got to see his best year ever. Met fans, Yankee fans, Met fans maybe not as locked in, but we all got to see what he looked like when he was performing like a Bentley, like the last caller called and mentioned. Like, we all saw his exuberance, his fun-loving nature, his swagger. We saw it in the playoffs. Everybody saw it in the playoffs. Like, we saw it. He was right here in this town doing it. And now he's in the same town, different team, and it's not there. I don't know why, and I'm not going to tell you it's because he wishes he was a Yankee. I don't know that. Something is up. And now when you get to the lack of hustle and it comes with losing, now the Met fan is going to have a problem with it. Hollywood out in Brooklyn. What's up, Hollywood?
What's going on, bro? How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Listen, I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm just building up. I'm getting excited and excited. Hear me out for a little while. There's the old saying in life, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Okay.
Juan Soto was extremely happy last year. He was playing with Judge. He was out there in Yankee Stadium with the best fans ever. We are the best fans ever. Forget about the Met fans or whatever. We're the best fans ever. The Pizza Creatures, everyone. Now, I believe Michael Cave when I read this. I read it a few minutes ago when I first heard it. And to bring up your family in there, that lets you know that you're getting some good inside information. What Juan Soto needs to do is step up and be a real man. And what I mean by that is, say this. If you're not happy, go inside your owner's office and tell him, listen, I appreciate all the money you gave me. I love you. I'll never forget that. Is there a way that you can get me back to the Bronx? For you not to hustle, for your body language to look the way it is, tells me you want to go back home. You want to see your number retired one day in that outfield with Babe Ruth and Mantle and Gina and everybody else, because we are the best franchise ever. And now you're playing there with the little boys. Hey, I understand. I understand the money is good. But look at it like this. Even if it was $10 million less, you would make that money back somewhere being here. You would make that money. You would be glued. How many Yankee commercials are there compared to Met commercials? Seriously, over the years, how many Met commercials have there been?
Well, I mean, over the years, but things are changing, and I don't know. Like, no. And again, how many commercials are there in general? How many? Tom Brady was the most famous man on the planet from in Massachusetts and Boston. Peyton Manning is in every stinking commercial you've ever seen for 10 years. He was doing it in Indianapolis and Denver. Like, it's a small world. It's a small world. Shohei Ohtani was the face of baseball in Anaheim. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes is doing commercials, and he plays in Kansas City. It's not like that anymore. It's not like that anymore. It's not like making that argument to Reggie Jackson, like, come play here instead of being in Oakland. It's not the same thing. And, like, this is, you know, that's his name was apropos Hollywood. Like, we don't know that. And there's no going into the owner's office and saying, hey, look, I made a mistake. I want to go back to the Yankees. Let's figure out a way. It's impossible. And we're not anywhere near there. Look, I know I'm doing the open on. It's the talk of the town. It's definitely an issue right now. But it's not. We have no idea. He knew all of that. He knew about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth played in the 1920s. Juan Soto was well aware of Babe Ruth when he made the decision to be a Met. He knew about Monument Park when he decided to be a Met. Everything you just said is everything that became nonsense. That's why the Met fan loved it so much. And maybe a lot of other, you know, fan bases in baseball loved it so much because they got to crap on all of that. Don't tell me about Babe Ruth. He just picked the Mets. Don't tell me about, you know, Monument Park. He just picked the Mets. Don't tell me about getting his number retired or 27 championships or pride, power, and pinstripes. He just crapped all over that and went to the Mets and chose the Mets. That's what this whole thing has been about. He was well aware of all of that. The Yankees sold him on that. That was the pitch when they talked to him. He was well aware. He's not suddenly recognizing that. Because this has kind of been from day one. It's not like he was open the season with all this swag and fun-loving stuff. And then, you know, eventually, like, something's up with him. I don't know what it is. But, like, the idea that he's going to go demand a trade, he's here for 15 years. He's got a five-year, I guess he's got an opt-out after 5 years, and they can add more money. I doubt any of that happens. He's going to be here for 15 years. He can't go to the owner's room and say, get me back to the Bronx, and the Yankees aren't in a position to trade for him and add $47 million or $50 million a year. Like, it just doesn't make any sense, and there's no reason. I'm sorry. Again, and I'm not saying Michael Kay is lying. I'm just saying that I have a tough time believing that he would make a decision. Like, it's just, I don't know. Or the Yankee fans are ready to crow. I get it. And that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to be honest about what's going on. And, like, this is going to start to become more of a Met thing than it is the Yankee fan thing. And I know the Yankee fan want to have their moment after the Met fans had theirs. And Met fans, look, you can hit me up on Twitter and get mad at me. You could call Hollywood there ridiculous. You can say whatever you want to say. The bottom line is that's exactly what you did when he signed. Like, Gio was talking about it this morning. You have to live with this now. You came out the minute Juan Soto signed and crapped all over the Yankee organization. You crapped all over the general manager, the owner, the pinstripes, the 27 championships, the Monument Park and Babe Ruth, and said no one gives a damn about that anymore. Nobody cares about that. That's all garbage, and that's why he chose the Mets, because he believes the Mets franchise is better, future is brighter, all that. You said it for nonstop the entire offseason the minute he signed. Up until Friday, including Friday and Saturday. And you know what? They lost the series. Now he's not hustling. He's not performing. And not just Yankee fans, but the entire collective baseball world is recognizing he doesn't seem as happy. So today, Met fans, you have to take it. There are going to be calls like that. That's the way it is. I don't agree with everything he said, but you have to live with it, because you crowed and crowed for months and crapped all over the Yankee pinstripes. The Yankee fans are going to have their comeuppance. They won the series to the victor. Go the spoils. You could be mad all you want. It's just the way it is. I don't even agree with what he said. And I'm not trying to say the same thing. You can hit me up on Twitter and act like I am. I'm not. But you got to deal with it. And it's one thing to have to deal with that, and that's what's really making it tough for the Met fan right now, because not only do they have to deal with the Yankee fan rightfully being able to crow, and you can get mad at it, but you know it's rightfully theirs for the moment, but you've also got to deal with a player who's not performing, losing games, not hustling, and then denying not hustling. Rough weekend for the Met fan. 888-808-1019. Quick break update. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Still 4 hours to go. Plenty of this. All the way up until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. We'll be right back.